biggest thing I'll miss is just running out of that tunnel right there at Farm and Field. That was one of the coolest moments I've ever had.
I've become a Twitter-aholic, and I'm 62 years old. I love Twitter.
It's pretty amazing that it's still, we're entering season six of the Old Dominion Football Show with Coach Bobby Wilder and Bruce Rader.
Welcome to the premiere debut episode of the Monarch Asylum Podcast, episode one, brand new for 2015. Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm excited as well. My name is David Agudelo. I'm going to be the host of the Monarch Asylum Podcast all season long. We're going to try and take a close look at ODU football on a weekly basis, looking ahead toward the next game and recapping the past game. The voices you heard at the beginning of the show, in order, Taylor Heinicke, award-winning Old Dominion quarterback, Harry Minium, beat writer for the Virginian Pilot, who knows his team as well as anybody, and Brian Parsons, sports producer, anchor, reporter, Mr. Do-It-All for Wavy TV 10 and Fox 43. Those are our three guests today that we're going to go in-depth and talk about this Old Dominion team on what they can expect this year and what kind of football they're going to play. Once again, this show is the Monarch Asylum. You can find all things related to this show at monarchasylum.com. On Twitter, we're at ODU Asylum. Unfortunately, Monarch Asylum was taken. I had to go at ODU Asylum. That's the only one that's not the same name. Some butterfly people took Monarch Asylum, so they beat me to the punch. And then finally on Facebook, we're also located at Monarch Asylum. Who am I? Well, I am a local kid. My dad was in the Navy. He retired in Norfolk, and that's where me and my sisters grew up. That's where my family grew up, and my family is still located there. Great Bridge High School, class of 1993. Old Dominion, class of 98. Former sports editor at the Mason Crown for 2.5 years when I was a student at ODU. I had the privilege of covering the 1997 women's team that went to the national title game and lost to Tennessee. I still can't hear the song Rocky Top without wanting to punch someone in the face, so don't even think about playing that song around me. I really, really hate that song. Worked at WODU, a proud member of Sigma Nu. I know they've been in the news lately, but we don't have to talk about that and keep opinions to yourself. And a Friar Tuck 10-cent wing night regular. That was some of my best nights in college. I remember going there with my buddies and ordering 200 wings and chowing them down. That was always a good time. What do I do now? Well, fortunately, I majored in communications, and I wanted to get into a job in television. Initially, I wanted to be a reporter, but I became a cameraman, and I've been doing that here in Miami since 2003. I work for WFOR, CBS4, here in Miami. And if there's a sporting event in Miami, there's a good chance I'm going to be there. Our bread and butter is the Miami Dolphins. I work with them intimately. I work on the Miami Dolphins coaches show as well as their pre- and post-game show. I get to go to every Dolphins game. I will be at the first one, Redskins-Dolphins. That should be an interesting game. I was very fortunate to have a front row seat to the Big Three era with the Miami Heat in the locker rooms when they won championships, covering LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh up close. Definitely a highlight of my career. And, of course, there's so many sports down here in Miami. It's, you know, may not be a great sports town for the fans, but it's a great sports fan because it has every sport you can want. I've been very privileged. I've been very lucky to cover sports up close, from Tiger Woods teeing off at 6 a.m. to Serena Williams winning championships. I've had a very, very fortunate career to get really up close and personal. And I've actually learned from a lot of people on how to cover a team and be fair, but you can be critical without sounding like a homer. So that's hopefully one thing I'm going to try and bring to this podcast. I'm excited for this new endeavor. Like I said, the game plan is to do one podcast for each game this year, and a podcast will feature a look back at the previous game, what went right, what went wrong, and then a look forward to the next game. I'm also going to effort to get as many ODU alumni on this show across the board, as well as Hampton Roads alumni in general, because I am a Hampton Roads guy. I do love it there, and I do miss it a little bit, though Miami is great. I do miss Hampton Roads. But that's about it. So this is debut podcast is going to be a season preview. Harry Minium is going to come up first. He's going to talk. We're going to go through the positions on him. What's Shuler Bentley going to have to do to replace Taylor Heinicke? How that new look defense is looking? We're going to go in position by position with Harry Minium. After that will be Brian Parsons. We're going to talk about the job Bobby Wilder has done and the job he'll have to do this year, which will probably be one of his most challenging jobs this year. And then finally, batting third. Always put your best hitter third is what I was told, and so that's where Taylor Heinicke is. Taylor was gracious enough to give me a little of his time, and we talked about how's it going in Minnesota for him and some of his memories from ODU. What initially brought him there, some of his memories from his great games like the 730-yard game, and that was very good. He was very gracious to give me some of his time. But that's it for now, so let's get started. Coming up, Harry Minium, batting leadoff. All right, continuing on the Monarch Asylum, our premier debut episode, we're going to go to Harry Minium right now, ODU beat writer for the Virginian Pilot. You can follow him on Twitter at Harry_Minium VP. And I will say this, and I don't just say things, he is an excellent follower on Twitter. He puts out some really good information. And Harry, you do something, you don't tweet too much, which I've learned some beat writers I follow decide they need to tweet every 30 seconds. I think you've done a good job of with the information you set out. How have you fallen? How do you like Twitter? Is that, did you have to adjust to that?
I've become a Twitteraholic, and I'm 62 years old. I love Twitter, but you're right. You know, you follow some people and they tweet too much, and so you unfollow them. So you have to kind of reach a happy medium there.
Was that a tough transition for you, like to start? Because I know everyone had to do it, but I enjoy it.
I was actually covering the City Hall beat here in Norfolk when I started, and I enjoyed it right from the start. It was just a natural thing. The 142 characters, now that was difficult to get used to, but, you know, after a while, you know, you get it down, you write it, you write a tweet, and you look in there, it's like, you know, you're one character under or one over. You know, you just learn how to do it.
No, that's fantastic. Well, let's talk a little bit about this team. You know, all eyes on this season this year. ODU, what is it, the fourth youngest team in football, so youth is going to be a real issue. Well, I want to talk to you real quick about also the access you get. You were saying that this is you get to see all of practice.
Well, let me talk first about their youth. They're in transition from the football championship subdivision FCS to FBS. They really only had two full FBS recruiting classes, so most of their really good talent, they're freshmen or sophomores, so they're very young, and they're. Most of their better defensive players are redshirt freshmen. Their defense is going to be a lot better. But the access I get at Old Dominion is absolutely unbelievable. I've, you know, covered Virginia Tech, University of Virginia, a lot of schools, and I am allowed to go to every practice. If I need a player after practice, I get the player. You know, I get coaches. It is unbelievable, and that's. They're in a position where they need publicity. They want publicity. And Bobby Wilder, their head coach, is a very media savvy, conscious guy. And that's the way he runs this program, which is great.
And it seems to me like he's a straight shooter too. Like he's not gonna. I've covered coaches down here. Will tell you one thing and another thing's completely happening. They play that misdirection game and misinformation game way too much. He seems to me like he's a roll the ball out there kind of guy. And hey, that's what it is. That's what it is.
Yeah, and if you write something that, you know, he thinks is wrong, I mean, I'm sure there are times when he disagrees with things that I write and he doesn't say anything, but if I write something he really doesn't like, he lets me know. You know, some coaches will just sort of let that fester and, you know, there's nothing worse than letting something like that fester. He's a very straight shooter. He's, you know, I don't think he's going to be at Old Dominion a terribly, you know, long time. I think someone, assuming they continue to win, is going to grab him. If for no other reason, is that he really sells the program. I mean, when he came here, I guess about 2.5 years before they started playing football, he went out and spoke to every group, any group, anywhere that would listen and just sold the program. That's one of the reasons they've been sold out for all 41 home games they played.
Let's get in on this roster a little bit. Of course, all eyes on the quarterback position. Taylor Heinicke gone, and people are going to have a little bit of a Heinicke hangover, I'm going to call it, this year. What have you seen from Shuler Bentley in the spring practice, in these in the preseason practices here?
Shuler is very talented. He's young. Interesting thing was is that, you know, you got a team with about 10, 11 seniors and probably 20 juniors, and yet they, when they were voting for the leadership position, they don't have captains this year. They're just voting a leadership position. He was the overwhelming winner, which tells you something, that, you know, he's a redshirt freshman, never played a game, and all these guys want him. You know, they say he's our leader. He's different kind of quarterback from Heinicke. He is, I think he's much better on play action passes. He's more comfortable in the pocket. I think, the coaches here say that he is, his, arm is stronger than Taylor's. He's more accurate on long throws. The area where I think there are a lot of areas where he's not as good as Taylor, and he shouldn't be as a redshirt freshman. He doesn't read defenses quite as quickly as Taylor did. I mean, Taylor's really smart and really experienced, and, Shuler's smart and experienced too, but not as experienced as Taylor was.
And what about a backup quarterback? I know it's a little thin there. What are the possibilities that maybe you see David Washington and maybe like a wildcat type role, just to maybe mix it up and see if that has any potential, especially if possibly Shuler struggles a little bit?
I'm not sure that you would see that right away, because David has not taken a lot of snaps in practice. He only began to take snaps in practice last Thursday. But with Bobby Wilder, you never know. I mean, he's a guy who did 3 onside kicks at a home game, I think in one half, 2 years ago against the Citadel, and they recovered 2 or 3 of them. I mean, right in a row, 3 in a row. So you never know. But David is he's Old Dominion's best receiver. And they are razor thin in depth. They really don't have a lot of depth. They've got Colin McElroy, who's a redshirt junior, who has never thrown a passing game. Solid player, kid from suburban Atlanta. Not a great passer, pretty good passer, but he has no experience, you know, relatively little experience in a game. And the other quarterback is a walk-on freshman, true freshman, Blake LaRussa from Chesapeake. He went to Catholic High School out in Virginia Beach. And Blake has really got a good arm, but he's a true freshman. And that's it. They have no fourth quarterback. So that's why David Washington has begun to take snaps in practice. Because you never know. Sometimes you can have a couple of kids hurt at quarterback.
No, absolutely.
I think if Shuler, you know, if something happens to Shuler, it's really hard to say, you know, how good this team could be.
And, just seems like there's a lot of unknowns there behind Shuler.
Well, there's a lot of unknowns with Shuler too, because he is, at times he's looked outstanding in practice. At other times he hasn't. I think he's a great quarterback, but he's a redshirt freshman. And redshirt freshmen, you know, usually make, you know, if he's a typical redshirt freshman, he's going to make a lot of mistakes. That's what they do. I think he's going to be pretty solid for them this year. The one thing is they're going to run the ball a lot more this year than they did last year. They got Ray Lowry back. He was conference USA freshman of the year.
How have you seen him? What's different from him this year? I mean, how has he used the offseason to maybe develop his game?
He's, you know, from what I can see, he's just a little bit stronger than he was last year, which is kind of hard to believe because he was so strong coming out of high school. They haven't run him a lot in preseason practice and full scrimmages because they don't want to get him banged up. They've got a really good backup for him and a kid named Jeremy Cox. He's a prep school transfer. He played a year at Fort Kingdon Military Academy. He was outstanding in the spring game. They think Jeremy can be he could be a star for them, and he's really looked good in preseason camp. They're going to run the ball a lot more this year than they did last year.
Yeah, actually, we have later in the podcast, we have an interview with Taylor Heinicke, and he called Ray Lowry a little bowling ball. Just how once he gets going, it's kind of hard to stop him.
Yeah, and he really gets going fast. He's really fast, and that's that makes for a pretty lethal combination. Now, everyone's going to be keying on Lowry because everyone knows Shuler Bentley's a redshirt freshman. Lowry's a guy, so everyone's going to be keying on him. I think a good thing for Old Dominion is they've got a pretty good offensive line. They've got four or five starters back. They're pretty experienced there. They're not as deep as they like to be. If they get a couple of injuries, you know, who knows, but they're pretty good in the offensive line.
Yeah, it looks like they have some experience there. I mean, Schuler to have a guy like, was it Mewbourne? Is that how you pronounce it?
Connor Mewbourne. He's the son of an admiral. His father is an admiral. I think his father is actually based in Washington now, I do believe.
Interesting.
They called him he was a fix-it guy. He would come in whenever they had problems on a ship, they'd bring Connor's dad in and he would take over and get things right. And then he would go back to desk duty.
Wow. So this Mewbourne's probably used to the discipline. He's probably one of Wilder's favorite players, I'd imagine.
Yes, he is. He is. He's got great hair, too. He's got blonde hair, and he's got a cut. He's an interesting kid.
It looks like there is a little bit of experience on the offensive line. I mean, I guess that's probably a nice little blanket for Schuler Bentley to have.
It is. That, and actually, he's got a lot of experience on the offensive line. He's got Ray Lowry in the backfield, who's got experience, and he's got experienced wide receivers. David Washington, Zach Pascal, Blair Roberts, Marquise Little, these guys, they all played last year, and they all played under a lot of pressure last year. They had four games that they won on the last play of the game, so they're, you know, four plays away from 2-10. They won them all.
I was at the Florida Atlantic game. I was at that one, so that was an exciting game. How excited is Blair Roberts to be back from that injury?
Blair was pretty bummed that he got injured. He said that he was actually kind of down because he wanted to go out with Taylor Heinicke and he wanted to go out with Larry Pinkard. And, you know, those are his buddies. And, of course, Larry Pinkard got kicked off the team for a violation of team rules and is now in the Packers training camp. So Blair is happy to be back. I'm actually doing a feature on him this coming Saturday, and Blair says, you know, if I'd gone out last year, I might not get a chance to play in a bowl. I'd like to play in a bowl this year. He's already graduated, so he's played very well for a guy who took much of last year off. I mean, he didn't start taking catching passes in practice last season until early November. So he really took most of last summer and last fall off.
We're talking with Harry Minium, a beat writer for ODU Football for the Virginia Pilot. You can follow him on Twitter at @Harry_Minium_VP. Also, he has an excellent blog. It's what, ODUBlitz.com?
ODUBlitz, BLITZ.com. It's pretty easy to remember.
Let's switch over to the other side of the ball. I mean, all talk I've seen from this preseason is the defense, how it has improved. How much better is it? Because we know it has been a little bit of an issue in previous years for the Monarchs.
I mean, their defense has really struggled the last three or four years. I mean, you know, Bobby Wilder fired his defensive coordinator after, I believe it was the 2011 season, after they got waxed by Georgia Southern in the playoffs. They gave up, I believe, 43 points a game 2 years ago and 38 last year. That's a lot of points. They're going to be much better this year. They've got a lot of good players back. They're a little thin in the defensive backfield, but a guy named Felonte Mischer, F-E-L-L-O-N-T-E, he's ODU's fifth career leading tackler, will probably wind up second. He's a two-year starter, 6'2", 210, big kid, fast. But the place they're really going to be better on is the defensive line. They've got a lot of redshirt freshmen. A kid named O'Shane Jimenez. That's X-I-M-I-N-E-S. Ziminez.
And that's my vote. That's my vote for best name on the team.
Yeah, it is. He's they just can't block him. I mean, the offensive line can't block him. Now he's a redshirt freshman. He's going to make mistakes. But he's looked really good. Another kid, a true freshman by the name of Tim Ward. He transferred to ODU he didn't transfer. He enrolled at ODU in January. He came in at 193 pounds. Now he's about 230, and he's a surprise. He's been the surprise training camp. He's starting at the other defensive end, and he's 6'6", and he looks taller. I mean, he's just batted down a lot of passes.
And he's pretty
athletic. They really have a lot of
He's pretty athletic, too, from what I understand.
Yes, he is. He's very athletic. He moves well. Hard worker. I think he's going to be pretty good. Where they're really, really talented is at defensive tackle. They've really got good defensive tackles. You can name Rashad Coward, junior from Brooklyn, 6'6", 307. He's really good. Former walk-on by the name of Boomney Rutimi, who makes the all-name team. He's starting at one tackle. They got a true freshman backing him up, a kid named Miles Fox from Atlanta. Miles, it took him about 10 minutes of practice for coaches to figure out that they were going to have to play him. The one area where they have pretty good depth at linebacker, the linebackers are a little undersized.
Okay.
And so teams that, you know, just line up and run the ball, I think like Texas El Paso has done in the past, and UTEP has, I think their entire starting line, starting offensive linebacker, those kinds of teams would give Old Dominion trouble.
It looks like they have like several, like at least some experience there at linebacker. I see, you know, a couple of JUCO transfers.
Yeah, TJ Ricks is there. He's the leading, I think he was second leading tackler back and middle linebacker. He's a former walk-on. He plays middle linebacker and he's 6 foot, 226, which is not very big. Shadow Williams and Martez Simpson, Shadow's a recent junior college transfer. Martez transferred to Old Dominion last year. They're also starting at linebacker. Cole Adams Hurd, Reese Schmidt, they're both, JUCO, they're seniors. They were JUCO transfers a year ago. Richard Thomas, a junior, he's a JUCO transfer. So they've gotten a lot of help from JUCOs.
In the secondary, it looks like cornerback, it looks like some youth at cornerback.
There is. That's the position where they probably have the least experience other than cornerback. A transfer from UAB named D. Brown. He's played pretty well. Right now, Aaron Young is starting ahead of him, and Aaron has had a great preseason. The other cornerback, they got a redshirt freshman starting now, a kid by the name of Brandon Addison, and he is he's a walk-on, and he does not have a scholarship.
Oh, wow.
And they've got a true freshman who's a senior, redshirt senior, Quante Thornton, who's a former walk-on, who's a backup. And then Jamez Brickhouse, who's another true freshman, three-star recruit out of Virginia Beach. One of the few kids that Old Dominion is, you know, a lot like FAU and FIU. They don't often beat Power 5 schools for teams, but Jamez had offers from UVA and a couple of other ACC schools. Really look good.
You've mentioned Michener before, but it does look like there is some depth at safety, that they go maybe three or four guys deep at safety.
They do. I think they're pretty solid at safety. Justice Davila had a good year. He played as a true freshman last year. Denzel Williams, a true freshman, has played well. He's probably going to play. And a kid named Christian Byram, who started some of last season as fourth string right now and as strong safety. And I think that's because Christian is a little nicked up. But, they've got some depth there.
Just go back over to the offense real quick. So fans can expect a more of a running game. It's going to be definitely a switch from what they're used to seeing.
Yes. And you're not going to see them. You know, they used to Heineke would pass the ball. They line up at the line, and just, no huddle, quickly call play, boom, 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 and try and wear opponents out. The last three games of last season, they realized that wasn't working. They had lost five in a row. So they slowed the offense down. And Bobby Wather said that's primarily because, in FCS, they had opponents overmatched and talent, speed, and that's not the case in FBS. So they slowed it down. They had 1 9-minute drive against Louisiana Tech where they just milked the clock. And I think you're going to see more of that this year. I think you'll see lower scoring games, probably quicker games, which is good for guys like me on deadline.
I know exactly what you mean, but it also sounds like the potential for some big plays. If Shuler Bentley's strength is play action and they get rolling with Ray Lowry, I mean, that has a chance for at least grind it out, and then hit the big home run ball.
Yeah, and that very well, I mean, they've got some speed at wide receiver, and that could happen. The one thing I would mention about the offense, too, is they had planned to use a tight end a lot this year, and then they lost their top two tight ends to injuries, Melvin Vaughn and Adam Swan. Melvin, a junior, and Adam, who was the star of the scout team last year, is a really good player from Maryland. He broke his leg. Melvin blew out his knee. So I don't think you're going to see them line up with a tight end. So they've had to switch gears on their offense a lot in preseason practice over what they had planned.
Yeah, I think you might see some two running back sets, especially if the running backs are that deep. That it's too bad that Vaughn injury is it's a tough one to take.
Yeah, yeah. He had surgery last week, and, you know, he's redshirting this year. He'll be back. So.
Well, that's good to hear. So let's wrap it up. Just a couple more questions. What's your outlook on the season? What do you think? They need 6 wins to be bowl eligible. And, of course, as everyone knows, ODU's never had a losing season. This might be their first with the youth and some of the difficult games on the schedule. What are you thinking, Harry?
I'll take you right through the season. They have to beat Eastern Michigan this weekend, or they're in trouble. And then they have to beat Norfolk State in the second game. I think that they're against North Carolina State, which is the first Power 5 team ever to come to Old Dominion, and then Appalachian State and then Marshall. I think they will probably lose those games. I mean, I've picked them to beat UNC Charlotte, beat FIU, lose to Western Kentucky, beat UTSA, lose to UTEP, lose to Southern Miss, and then beat Florida Atlantic. That puts them at 6-6, but they could be anywhere from 3-9 to, you know, 7-5. It's just really hard to say.
No, much like you said last year, they were what, 4 plays away, or, you know, from
they won
a switch.
Yeah, I mean, they, you know, if they had lost those 4 games, it would have been winless in the league, you know. So they were really close to disaster last year, but they had a lot of poise last year, and they, meaning Taylor Heinicke, and he played with a lot of poise.
No, and it's great to see he's continuing it in the NFL. And you will hear from Taylor Heinicke later in this premiere episode of the Monarch Asylum. Harry Minium, I got to thank you very much for coming on this this premiere episode.
True thing. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, we'll have to do it again. And when you get down here, I'll take you out for a Cuban coffee when you come down for the Florida International game.
I just want a Cuban sandwich.
We can do that, too. We can definitely do that. Well, thanks again for your time, and have a good season.
You, too. Thank you.
All right, coming up after the break, we'll talk to Brian Parsons from Wavy TV 10. We'll get a little more in-depth on Bobby Wilder. Don't go away. More after the break. Welcome back. You're inside the Monarch Asylum. We're going to continue our debut episode, Old Dominion Football Season Preview Special, by bringing in Brian Parsons, sports producer, anchor, whatever needs to get done at Wavy TV and Fox 43. This is the guy you want to talk to. One reason you're on is your experience with the Coach's Show. Talk a little bit about the Coach's Show. You said it's the 6th season, and how's it been doing that for all 6 years of ODU's existence?
It's pretty amazing that we're entering season 6 of the Old Dominion Football Show with Coach Bobby Wilder and Bruce Rader. It's been a fun thing to deal with, to have the interaction with Coach. I mean, he comes into the station every single Thursday. We tape it on Thursdays at 11 o'clock in the morning, and Coach comes in. He hasn't missed an episode. He is very, very punctual. He is always on time. He always arrives at about 10:55. And we try to get him out of there as quick as we can, because we know he's a busy guy. And he, no entourage, no SID with him or anything like that. He just drives in by himself. The only 2 times that he's had people with him were last year he had a camera crew that were working on promotional videos for Old Dominion for recruits. And then the first season that we did the show, before the William & Mary game, the first time they played William & Mary at SB Ballard Stadium, he brought his parents with him, which I thought was really cool. And they sat on the set and watched the show. And his father had a very thick Maine accent.
Nice. I could imagine. It seems to me like I've worked with a lot of coaches who hate the media aspect of it. I mean, I could tell you stories about Nick Saban. I could tell you stories about some of the Hurricanes coach, Randy Shannon, that I've covered. But it seems to me that he kind of enjoys the media process a little bit, Wilder. Does he?
He appears to. He's very transparent. You ask Bobby Wilder a question, he's gonna give you a straight, honest answer. He's used the media as a platform, obviously, when Old Dominion didn't even have a team, you know, for those 2 years. He was hitting the streets, functions, media. There's basically not a microphone or camera that Bobby Wilder is going to shy away from at all.
Yeah, he was he had to be a PR guy too as well.
Oh, for sure, for sure. That's part of the job of being a head coach, is selling the program. No question about it. I think he's done a fantastic job. You know, you think back to when Old Dominion made the hire, it seems hard to believe, but Mike London was actually a finalist for that job at one point.
Oh,
he was
wow.
One of the finalists. Yeah, when he was at Richmond, and everybody thought it was going to be Mike London. It was going to be Mike London. He was going to be the guy, and he dropped out, and then it was this guy from Maine who's been an assistant that we've never even heard of. And I remember thinking, what? And I think it ended up being a good hire.
No, it looks like, I mean, the program he's implemented. He seems, like you were saying, with his punctuality, his attention to detail seems to be, to me, one of his real strengths.
It is. I was, we were taping our 1 minute drill segments. We did 12 of them on media day, and talking to Connor Mewborn, he said that he's a senior, and I believe he's a senior, and he said that every day that they go into a meeting, literally every single time, Coach Wilder comes in, says, "Good morning, men," and then the team says, "Good morning, coach," and he said that literally he does that every single time. There's not been one time that he hasn't approached the team like that. Just, you know, just an illustration of, you know, the consistency that Wilder lives by.
Well, that consistency and that coaching's probably going to be needed this year. What are your expectations this year? He's going to have probably one of his toughing coaching challenges in his 6 years with the fourth youngest team, I believe, in FBS is the stat. I mean, every time I look at the depth chart, I see either redshirt freshman or sophomore slided as a starter, and there are some seniors in there too. But there's so much youth on this team. What kind of challenge is that going to be for him this year?
I think it's going to be a tremendous challenge this year. It's going to be a tough season. It could be a long season. Last season, at one point, with five losses in a row, felt long until the last three games of the season when Wilder kind of went a little more conservative with his offensive approach and a little more ball control, a little more running the ball. And, you know, they won three games in a row to end the season. That was with an NFL quarterback, by the way. And all four of their Conference USA wins last year, literally all four, were on the last play of the game, all four wins. The Rice game, field goal at the horn. The Louisiana Tech game, Taylor Heineke touchdown in overtime. The FAU game, which I believe you were at, was the last play of the game. And the FIU game here in Norfolk was the last play of the game, literally with no time on the clock. So just to show you the margin, even last year for a 6-6 team, the four of those wins came down to literally the last play of the game. That's how razor thin this margin is. And I mean, that's Eastern Michigan on the road. Eastern Michigan, traditionally one of the weaker FBS teams in the nation, but they probably got a lot more experience in Old Dominion. It's tough to win on the road,
especially an opener.
Well, yeah, with a freshman quarterback, a guy that's never played in a college game. NC State's going to be tough. Appalachian State, I think, is going to be a tough game. And then you get into the Conference USA schedule, and it's, I mean, I think 6-6 would be a huge accomplishment for this team if they were to go 500 like last year.
How flexible is he? I mean, you kind of touched on a little bit right there. You know, I'm a believer in coaches. The good coaches fits the player to the scheme. They don't force fit the scheme to the players. They kind of, it sounds like he did do that last year, realizing what strength he had in Ray Lowry with the running game. So is he flexible to the skills that his players have, and he really fits the offense and defense to their skills?
Absolutely, no question. He's going to play to the quarterback's strengths, and he'll tell you straight up the quarterback is the most important position on the field. You know, again, the transparency that Wilder has, he doesn't shy away from things like that. So he's even said this year they wanted to implement a couple of tight end sets, but they lost two of the tight end, one of the tight ends, Vaughn, out with a season-ending injury, and then Swan, the other backup tight end, broke his leg, so they've kind of been forced to rethink that. But they're very, 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 very deep at wide receiver. And, you know, Wilder knows the deal here. You've got a freshman quarterback, so he's not going to, he's going to try to take a little bit of the pressure off Shuler Bentley and rely a little bit more on the ground game. But offensive coordinator Brian Scott said when we interviewed him in media day that they look, we've always run the ball and we just want to try to keep finding that balance. And, there may be a little more runs this year, but it all depends on Shuler Bentley, who is not as athletic as Taylor Heinicke. He's not going to scramble as much as Heinicke did. He's more of a pocket passer. And, you know, there could be some growing pains with a freshman quarterback. But Wilder has said that Bentley is further along at this stage of his career than Heinicke was when he played, because Heinicke had to come in as a true freshman. So at least Shuler Bentley had the redshirt year to learn. But Wilder will change things up depending on the strength of his players. And, you know, with a freshman quarterback, he's probably going to take the ball out of his hands a little more and rely more on Lowry in the running game.
Later on in this premiere episode of The Monarch Asylum, there is an interview with Taylor Heinicke, and he talked about that, how quick Shuler Bentley picked up the offense. And he said he picked it up much quicker than he did, that Taylor didn't really have a full grasp on his offense till that last game his freshman year against Georgia Southern. And how last year he saw Shuler just pick everything up so quick. And Taylor's words were that he can throw the crap out of the ball. So there definitely is some skill there. We're with Brian Parsons here, sports producer, anchor at Wavy TV 10, Fox 43. You can follow him on Twitter at @bpar73.
And I've got to come up with a better Twitter handle, so I've got to figure something out here. It's not working for me, but we'll figure something out.
Yeah, it works for now, but yeah, you need something a little sexier than that. Also,
exactly.
You can also catch the Coach Wilder Show every Friday night on Fox 43 at 10:45. What do you think about this schedule they got this year? I mean, obviously they got the amazing NC State game at home, and it seems like it's a fairly friendly schedule. A lot of home games.
Seven home games. But again, I mean, you know, Western Kentucky is a good football team, but Marshall is a good football team. UTEP's a pretty good football team. It's just the thing that I try to tell people that is that it's going to be hard to judge Old Dominion and Bobby Wilder until they go through a full recruiting cycle at this level. I mean, they're still playing catch up here, and they just haven't gone through that full recruiting cycle yet, where you're stockpiled with fifth year seniors, and you know you want to redshirt all your freshmen. So I just think I think the fans need to be patient, and the program is still probably going to go through some growing pains because these other teams in the league are so much further ahead of Old Dominion as far as the development goes. I mean, Charlotte is transitioning, and they're in Conference USA, and I mean they. When they started their program with the full intent of being FBS, I mean, they lost some games to like some Division II schools.
Oh,
so
yeah.
They didn't have nearly the success that Old Dominion had out of the gate. So kind of curious to see what Charlotte does, but it's a brutal schedule. And like I said, I think 6-6 with to be bowl eligible at 6-6 would be a tremendous success. And you got to think with the support that Old Dominion has at 6-6, you know, bowl games are all about money and how many fans will come to the games. You know, they would be a very attractive bowl team if they were bowl eligible.
Yeah, and one of those bowls is actually here in Miami, so they got to make that one happen. That's the one I want them to go to. But I'm a little biased.
Would you work the game, or would you be a fan painted up like the Ted Heads?
I don't know if I'd wear the paint. I did the basketball head in college. I think I retired the face painting stuff, but I definitely would show up as a fan and do my best to maybe weasel a press pass to get on the sideline.
Oh, man, double duty.
Listen, you said 6-6, which would be a great year. How much pride does you think Wilder have in the fact that 6 years, they've never had a losing season? I mean, I tell people that, and they're like, what? How's that even possible?
Yeah, he wants to keep that streak going, but I think he's realistic enough to know what what he's up against here. And the fact that, again, these other teams are so much further ahead. Wood Selig had said that when he was at Western Kentucky, he saw Western Kentucky make the transition. And I've heard him on record saying, for whatever reason, that second season is tougher for some reason. Western Kentucky, their second season, they lost every single game.
Oh, wow.
When they transitioned.
That's crazy.
I don't think Old Dominion is going to go 0-12, but you know the streak, I feel, is definitely in jeopardy this year. Yeah. But again, it's all part of the transition. You got a freshman quarterback, and we don't know. We don't know how good he's going to be. We've never seen him in a game,
and he hasn't played in 2 years. I mean, almost two calendar years. He hasn't played, you know, in practice, but you know, nothing competitive. You know, not a game.
And they're not deep at quarterback. If he does get injured, you've got Blake LaRussa, and they've actually started giving some snaps to David Washington in practice, the wide receiver who was the backup quarterback, but he's a wide receiver now, just kind of a just-in-case situation.
Yeah, and I could see that too. I mean, I could imagine they could run like some form of a wildcat with him sometimes too, if, you know, maybe the offense does stall, you know, just to throw another wrench in the books.
Yeah, for sure. And he's a dynamic athlete, no question.
All right, let's change gears just a little bit. We do love talking ODU, but we can't neglect the NFL. Brian, what's happening in Washington?
That is one dysfunctional organization. I can't believe anything I read here. You read these reports that there's a clash between the front office and Daniel Snyder about what to do with RG3, and then you read other reports that say, no, Snyder is given the full reins to the new GM, Scott McLuhan, to do whatever he wants. What do you believe? One thing you've got to believe, Jay Gruden is no fan of RG3. That is very painfully obvious. And it's just shocking to me that everything they gave up to get him in that draft, and then here we are just a few years later, and he's probably going to get cut. And they've tried to trade him, apparently, and nobody wants him. It's
what
just
would you give up for him? I mean, why trade for him? You know, why give up? You know, take your chance. If he's out there, we'll take a chance. You know, kick the tires on him if he wants to sign with us. But yeah, he doesn't really have trade value.
Well, I guess maybe they're hoping there's another sucker out there. You know, I mean, it's just as growing up as a Redskins fan in Hampton Roads, it's just very, very difficult to watch what's going on. It's tough to cheer for him. It's tough to get interested. Quite frankly, it's tough to care, really, because it's just one circus after another. Well, and all in for Kirk, right? Kirk Cousins, it's his team.
Yeah, we'll see. And I'll actually be up at that game at the Dolphins Open at the Redskins. So they're going to have RG3 may not want to play that first game with the way the Dolphins defensive line have been looking this preseason. So, you know, it may not be a bad thing.
How are the Dolphins looking? How's Tannehill?
Tannehill's looking great. I mean, he's looking like he's, you know, the thing about him is when he was drafted, you knew he was a 4 or 5 year project. And that's what everyone says. And this is his fourth year. And he's gotten better every year. I think the best thing that ever happened to Ryan Tannehill was getting Bill Lazor as the offensive coordinator, because he is a, much like we talked about Wilder, he's a what are your skill set? Let's maximize your skill set kind of guy. Where the guy before, Mike Sherman, kind of ran his offense and this is how I did it. And he didn't really use players, I think, you know, optimally. He didn't really get the most out of him. I mean, we had Reggie Bush. The Dolphins had Reggie Bush, and he would finish games with one catch out of the backfield. And I'm like, seriously? Like, this guy should be getting 5 or 6 targets a game, and he didn't. So that is great for Tannehill. But all talk down here is the defensive line. They really run 9 guys deep on the defensive line. And they starts with Ndamukong Suh and Cameron Wake. Earl Mitchell's looking good. He's a veteran. And then Olivier Vernon's a nice speed rusher on the other side. I mean, Wake and Sue, I saw a great shirt. They call him the Earthquake and the Tsunami. Those two guys are going to wreak havoc, and it's going to be very interesting. They have the potential to be an excellent defense because they have some good young corners. They got an all-pro in Brent Grimes, and they're going to be interesting. You know, the question is how consistent is that offense going to be, but it's going to be fun to watch.
When were you working in this up here in Hampton Roads when Tyrod Taylor was at Hampton High School?
I left there in 2003, so I think I missed Tyrod.
Yeah, so he named the starting quarterback for the Buffalo Bills. How about that?
Unbelievable. I mean, and that's that, you know, it's that trend. I mean, it's, why do you think Taylor Heineke's getting this, you know, a look now too? It's, you know, these, that mold has been broken. You know, I used to say you walk in, you would know a quarterback when you saw him. It used to be this guy, he'd walk in, 6'4", you know, big, strong arm. And now you got guys, you know, that don't fit that bill that are producing. It's really an interesting time in the NFL.
Yeah, I think it's a lot of what you got upstairs too. You know, it's a head game, and you know, Taylor Heineke, obviously very, very intelligent player. You know, I was thinking, man, imagine last year if Larry Pinkert was on that team. You know, he could very, very easily make the Green Bay Packers roster, but he was dismissed from the team last year for violating team rules. Imagine if they had an NFL quarterback and an NFL wide receiver last year. I mean, Pinkert may have been worth an extra win.
No, absolutely. And I think Pinkert probably might have been drafted if he did play last year. He would have been a 6 or 7 round draft pick because he's got all the skills set. He's got all the skills, you know, great hands, very fast, great in traffic. I mean, he fits that kind of new age kind of player that every team has at least one little player like that. They all have that one little slot guy that kind of just scats all over the place. And that's what Larry does.
And you, and one of these things about with Taylor Heineke getting his NFL shot, imagine what that does for recruiting for Bobby Wilder to go into a living room and say, with the way me and offensive coordinator Brian Scott run this offense and Ron Whitcomb, the quarterback's coach, I'm putting a quarterback in the NFL, the National Football League. I mean, with his offense, you have the chance to really showcase your abilities as a quarterback, and I just got to think that could help him recruiting down the line.
You know, Taylor was he's coming up next, but Taylor was talked great about Bobby Wilder and a lot about Coach Whitcomb, about how their preparation really has helped prepare him for the NFL, and how it all kind of started with, you know, I asked him, I go, you seem to enjoy the mental aspect. You enjoy the studying, which I think you really need to be a good pro. And he said that all started with Coach Whitcomb, how he kind of made that watching videotape part fun. He goes, he made it enjoyable. And so when we had fun doing that, it translates to, you know, making, you don't feel like you're working, you're having fun.
Right. But now he's got Norv Turner breathing down his neck. And, but another, again, Norv Turner, one of the great offensive minds in all of football.
No, absolutely.
His reputation as a head coach.
Well, Brian, once again, you can follow him at BPAR73 on Twitter. And the coach's show every Friday night at 10:45 on Fox 43. Brian, thanks for joining the show.
Dave, thanks for having me, and good luck with the podcast. I'm looking forward to future episodes.
No, I appreciate it. And coming up, hey, don't go. You're going to want to download it, because coming up next, after the break, we're going to talk to you'll hear from Taylor Heineke. How's it going in Minnesota? What does he think his chances are? And of course, his memories of ODU. He talked about the 730-yard game and some of his best memories there. So you're not going to want to miss that. You're listening to the Monarch Asylum. We'll have more after the break.
The thing that I tell you now, it may not go over well. Oh, it may not be for the while. No way that I spell it out. But you won't hear from the messenger. Don't wanna know about something that you don't understand. You got no fear of the underdog. That's why you will not survive. Right!
Welcome back. You're inside the Monarch Asylum. I'm very excited for the next guest we're going to have on the podcast right now, and that this guy definitely does not need that much of an introduction. It is former Old Dominion quarterback and current Minnesota Viking quarterback, Taylor Heineke. Taylor, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
No problem. Listen, how's training camp going for you so far?
It's going pretty good. We spent our first two and a half weeks up in Mankato, Minnesota, and at our training camp site, and went pretty well. Try to get better behind Sean Hill and Teddy and Mike Kafka, and just really soak the offense in. And I think the preseason games have gone pretty well. So, you know, every day I'm just trying to go to practice and get better.
I know that you were upset you weren't drafted, but I know a lot of times when guys don't get drafted, it gives them a little more flexibility to maybe pick a team that they want to play with. Why did you pick Minnesota?
I found a lot of reasons. One of the most most mainly reasons I had was North Turner was the OC here. He's had a great history of developing great offenses and great quarterbacks, and so I was very excited about that. And then this quarterback only had three quarterbacks on the roster at the time, so more other teams had about four or five already. So that was another opportunity for me to get some playing time and again get on the field and get better. So those are two of the main reasons I came here, along with some other reasons, but I'm glad I picked Minnesota.
Now, it seems to me, too, that there, Teddy Bridgewater has, you guys kind of have a similar style of play with your skill sets. So it seems like an offense that's kind of fit to your skill set as well. Do you see that?
Yeah, we're in shotgun almost half the time, and it's very quarterback friendly. So we have a lot of control, which I do like. I know what's going on. With the line making calls and stuff like that, the quarterback's very involved in those things. So, every day I go to practice, watch Teddy, watch him, drive the offense down the field all the time, and I just try to emulate what he does.
I was fortunate. I actually had a chance to cover Teddy when he was at Northwestern High School down here in the heart of Miami. He was on some pretty good teams down here, so I've covered him in high school. I heard you say at one point after you got drafted that I can say I'm an NFL quarterback now, and now you have to go out and prove it. You've had some decent showings in the preseason. Do you feel like you belong out there?
I do. It's fun. At the end of the day, it's just football. It's a fun game, and lots of people are good at it. But at the end of the day, it's just a game, and I feel like throughout the preseason, I've had some good showing, but always room for improvement. But I do feel like I have what it takes to be a quarterback in the league. I just have to keep improving every day.
What's been the biggest challenge for you so far?
I think speed and getting the ball out of my hands very quickly. Throughout college, I had a pretty good offensive line where I could hold the ball for about 4 to 5 seconds on some plays, and it's just not like that in the NFL. It's just, the defensive linemen are good. Blitz packages they have nowadays, it's hard. It's hard to hold those defensive linemen, for longer than 3 seconds. So really working on getting the ball out of my hand quickly is probably the biggest thing for me.
I know one thing, too, that I'm always impressed with is the size of the game. What do you think about the size of the NFL? Because you get around some pretty massive people when you're in that pocket.
Oh, yeah. For instance, we have Anthony Barr, linebacker for us. He's 6'4", 6'5", and he's just a monster in there. You get kind of scared, throwing it through his way because he's just so lengthy and he can do so many things well. So that's another thing. The athleticism is better and the guys are bigger. So it makes it that much harder.
I did see you take a little bit of a hit in the Oakland game. Was that kind of like your welcome to the NFL moment, or do you have a welcome to the NFL moment that kind of hit you?
Not really. I got hit a couple times against the Steelers first game and then pretty hard against Tampa Bay as well. So I was getting used to it, but that one was tough. Yeah, he got me pretty good there, and that's definitely might have been the hardest I've ever been hit. So you could probably count that as an NFL moment.
I could see that. Where do you get your study habits from? Because I've always heard that's one of your strengths, that you enjoy that part of the game, and a lot of times quarterbacks don't. And I think in the NFL, you pretty much have to be, if you're the quarterback, you need to be that kind of the way they say, the first guy in the building, the last guy out. And it seems to me that you kind of enjoy that part of the game.
Yeah. Who really made it fun for me was my coach at Old Dominion, Coach Ron Wickham, quarterback coach, and he made it fun. We had lots of quizzes, and he was just very energetic in there. 6:30, it's hard for, 18, 19, 20-year-old guys to stay awake, but he made sure that you were wide awake. He was really fun with it, made you enjoy it. He really makes the quarterbacks there want to be great. So I can definitely applaud him for that.
I wanted to ask you about a particular formation. It's something that you guys did a lot at ODU. I call it the punt cat formation, a little play on the wildcat, where, you would line up in fourth down. You'd see what the defense has given you, and then you would decide whether to punt it or go for it. I think that's a pretty unique skill set, and I think that's something that an NFL coach might be interested in using, because it is pretty unique, especially when you're in between the 40s or 30s. You know, how did that come about that you did that in a game?
Well, it's kind of a funny story. The quarterback before me, Thomas DeMarco, was a very good punter, so he was. You know, that really started with him. And then, unfortunately, when he went down and they put me in, they asked if I could punt. And, I used to play soccer. I was pretty good at it, I think. And I always kick a ball pretty well. So, they stuck with it. And, it actually worked out really well for us in the 4 years I was there.
So did you punt it when you played in high school, or did you just played some soccer and you said, yeah, sure, why not? I'll give it a try. Let's kick it.
Yeah, you know, whenever we go out there and just kick the ball around, you know, just, you know, doing our thing, I could always kick the ball pretty well. And I think that was just one thing I just didn't really lose, was just kicking the ball, the natural ability to kick the ball. So, again, you know, that's really how it came about.
I'm not looking for trade secrets, but is that a skill set that the, you know, North Turner knows about, or maybe the coaching staff, so that's possibly another weapon in a certain situation that you could be used?
I have no clue. And even if I did, I probably shouldn't say anything. So,
Fair enough. Yeah, let's talk a little bit about Old Dominion. You know, do you still keep in touch with this team? I know you're very busy this time of year. I know what the schedules are like, but I wasn't sure, you know, how much of a pulse you have on this team, on where they're at with their, you know, first full year in the FBS with the bowl eligibility.
Yeah, it's a huge year for Old Dominion football. And I've been in contact with my quarterback coach there. You know, we pretty much text every day, so hearing pretty good things. You know, we have a really good freshman running back now. It's going to be a sophomore, and I think he won freshman USA player of the year last year, so he's one to look for. And then we have a quarterback, Shuler Bentley. He was a Gatorade player of the year in South Carolina two years in a row, and they got the red shirt last year, and he can throw the crap out of the ball. So with those two guys, and we have some great receivers and a good offensive line, and our defense has improved, and we have some pretty good defensive linemen coming in. So I think we'll be pretty good. If not this year, definitely the next 2 years.
Well, I know you're definitely going to be missed, but what did you see from Shuler last year? What are some of the traits that you think that shows that he's going to be a good college quarterback?
He's a good leader, and he's very smart. I can honestly say that he learned the offense 10 times as fast as I did when I was a freshman. It never really clicked for me until the very last game against Georgia Southern my freshman year with that offense. And he had it almost 100% down before the first game. So I was very impressed with that part of it, and how quickly he can, you know, learn and get better. So I saw huge improvements throughout the season, and I think he's just going to keep getting better.
And Ray Lowry, once again, I mean, the way he busted on the scene last year, I know he wasn't expected to carry the load, but then he did, and he did it surprisingly well, especially for his size as a freshman. You know, what did you see from him as he kind of developed into that main guy last year?
Yeah, he's just a ball player. I don't know, you know, what one thing he has great about him. He's just a great football player. He's thick, he's strong, he's sneaky fast, but he's not, I don't know how to explain it. He's a great football player, and he definitely made things a lot easier on me and the offensive line throughout the season. And I think his breakout game was against NC State. I believe he scored 3 touchdowns that game, and after that I knew he was going to be a great player, and I'm excited to see where he goes the next 4 years.
Yeah, he's very elusive. And he looks like he's pretty big for being a smaller guy.
Oh yeah, he's pretty rocked up. You know, he's very strong in the weight room as well. So he's like a little bowling ball. It's hard to stop him.
What are your expectations for the Monarchs this year?
You said what for the predictions?
No, just your expectations. What do you think? Because I know, you know, their schedule's, you know, little tougher, and it's just, you know, as it is moving up in college football, it gets a little tougher every year.
Oh yeah. You know, I expect them to be good. You know, I expect them to be great every year. You know, our expectations at ODU are very high. We've never had a losing season there, in our short history. And, I don't think they plan on having that happen anytime soon. So they're a very competitive team, and I expect them to get at least eight, nine wins. You know, but they have to have NC State at home this year. That's going to be a crazy night in Norfolk, and hopefully we can pull an upset there. But I have a lot of confidence in the team.
Oh, I was reading something about how Bobby Wilder's message, he says it to Shuler, and he said he's always said it to you, is just move the chains. Was it always just that simple for him, his message?
Absolutely. You know, it's with our offense, with how we roll, we're kind of like a high-tempo offense, get on the ball, let's go, let's move the ball. And once you get that first down, we had a statistic that we scored, I think, 73% of the time when we got just a first down on the first drive, and which is huge, especially for our offense. You know, so that was our first thing, was just move the chains. That defense to get tired, they're going to make mistakes, and we're going to capitalize on them. So that was our biggest thing.
Was it true? I read something that ODU, was that the first school to offer you a scholarship?
Yep, first school.
And what happened? They offered and you just said done deal, or how'd that work out?
Yeah, it was late my senior year. They offered, and I didn't even know they had a football team, honestly. I always knew they had basketball, but so I started doing some research and found out they were pretty new at football. They were only 2 years old at football. But they had great facilities. You know, they're huge media markets that have potential of going up classifications of football, and they ran a spread offense, which was what I ran in high school. So it all seemed to fit. And so they were my first offer, and then I got about 10 or 12 after that. But I definitely, once they offered and I visited, I knew that was a place for me.
And was the goal out of high school, like, did you want to be an NFL quarterback? Was that kind of the big picture for you?
That's always been a dream of mine. But, you know, throughout my whole career, you have people telling you that you're either too small or don't have the arm strength or stuff like that to do it. So, you know, throughout my high school career and college career, I heard that. And I never really had my mindset of being an NFL quarterback until last year when coach kind of sat me down and brought me to a reality that it was a possibility. So I think last year is when I realized I could have a shot at this.
Yeah, I mean, I saw it as a possibility too when, you know, as ODU advanced, like your play just rose with each level that they went up. And was it like before the season he told you that, or was there a certain point during the season?
It was pretty much, you know, before the senior season. Kind of sat me down and kind of compared me to all these other quarterbacks. We watched film on them, and you know, kind of just got my confidence up, and he was very good at doing that. And I think that's a huge part of why I was so successful. It's just he knows how to coach well and get you ready. So, yeah, it was right before senior year that he told me that.
We're in the Monarch Asylum. We're talking to former ODU quarterback, current Viking quarterback, Taylor Heinicke. You can follow him on Twitter at Taylor Heinicke. Taylor, how are you going to remember your times at ODU when you look back at it?
You know, there's lots of memories throughout, you know, school and the games. But the biggest thing I'll miss is just running out of that tunnel right there at Foreman Field. That was one of the coolest moments I've ever had. I got goosebumps, and I'll never forget those moments. So that's definitely one to look back on and remember. And all the fans, you know, we sold out every single home game when I was there, and they still have. So, you know, that was one of the biggest things as well.
I remember my time at school. I graduated ODU in 98, and that was where we played all of our intramural games. That was soccer, football, mm-hmm. You name it. That's what Foreman Field was for us. And so it's nice to see, you know, what it's become now, because it really is a beautiful facility.
Yeah, it's awesome. And hopefully they can make it a little bit bigger in the next years.
I do have to ask you about this 730-yard game. What do you remember about that? And just when you hear that number, I mean, that's insane looking back on it, even though it was several years ago.
Yeah. You know, at the moment, I couldn't really dwell on how that night really happened. And, you know, but now looking back at it, it's pretty amazing what we did as an offense that day. But you know, we were down 24 points right there in the first quarter, and the OC came up to me and just said, we're going to throw it every play. and he wasn't kidding. We literally threw the ball every play. I threw the ball about, I think, 79 times that day, and just had to come back and win the game, and we eventually did late in the fourth quarter. We won by 3 points, and but I knew it was going to be a great day statistically. When the third quarter ended, I look up at the box score, and I had 500 yards passing, and that was pretty unbelievable. And I think my quarterback coach was more excited about the record than I was. He was going crazy over after the game.
I could imagine. Does that ever come up in conversation, you know, when guys are just talking about games and you say, yeah, I once threw for 730. What are people's reactions whenever that comes up in conversation?
Yeah, you know, whenever you sometimes, you know, sign autographs for some fans and stuff, and they said, did you really throw for 730 yards in a game? And it's kind of funny, you know, I just kind of laugh and, you know, obviously tell them, yeah, but it brings out great memories. And that was definitely my favorite year, my sophomore year with all those guys. That was definitely our favorite game.
You going to be able to make it to any games this year? I don't know if the schedule matches up, or is that a possibility as to get on that sideline as a fan and watch one up close?
Yeah, I want to. I'll definitely have to check the schedule. And obviously, you know, first cuts are, I think, Monday or Tuesday, and second cuts are Saturday or Sunday. So, you know, schedule according to that, what happens there. Hopefully I can get down for one and root on those Monarchs.
Just last couple questions for you. Have you been in touch with Lovato and Pinkard with what they're trying to do as well? Because they're in the camps right now, oddly enough, in the same division that you're in, with, of course, Larry with the Packers and Rich with the Bears. Have you talked to them, and do you keep in touch with them as you guys all go through your first training camp?
Yeah, we text very briefly. Again, you know, we're all pretty busy, and it's at the end of the day, you just kind of want to go to sleep, but I've been in touch with Larry a lot. He's doing great. I've watched him a couple times on TV, and I just think he's so talented. I'm happy he's getting the opportunity to play there, and I think he's got a shot. Rick said he's doing great, and I'm happy for him. So, you know, this has just been a blessing that all three of us get a chance, and hopefully we can make the best of it.
Well, Taylor, thank you for your time. I know the last 4 years, Monarch Nation has had their eyes on you, and I know every time the Vikings play that you know, people put that on the TV now. I remember I read that your first preseason game, the entire team watched that game. So everyone in Hampton Roads and all the ODU fans are definitely rooting for you.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Thanks for your time, and maybe we can do this again sometime in the season.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Okay, just about to wrap things up for this premiere debut episode of the Monarch Asylum podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. So what did we learn today? Well, I learned from Harry Minium that ODU, if it hopes to go to a bowl game, has to get to 6 wins, and they probably means that they're going to need to get one this weekend at Eastern Michigan. It could be a tall order asking the fourth youngest team in FBS to go on the road in an opener and win a game. But Eastern Michigan is not the greatest team, so it is definitely possible. I also learned that the fate of the season probably lies a lot with how Shuler Bentley develops, how he's able to run this offense, but also importantly his health. He's going to need to stay healthy this season with little depth behind him and really not much experience. If he sustains any kind of injury, the season gets very interesting. I learned from Brian Parsons that Bobby Wilder is extremely punctual, but he'll also tailor his offense to the skill set of his players. With that being said, I know Shuler Bentley is really strong at play action. I know ODU has a stable of running backs. So fans, I think, need to get ready to see a different style offense than they're used to. It's not going to be the spread it out, throw it all over the place that we had with Taylor Heinicke. I really think there might be a little bit of a Heinicke hangover, but we can see what the offense can do. I'm also just not sure what this offense is going to look like, because I'd like to think there's going to be play action and focus on the run, but when you lose Melvin Vaughn, who was supposed to be the main tight end in that system, when you lose him for the year and his backup, I don't know what this offense is going to look like. And to be sure, I'm not sure Bobby Wilder knows what the offense is going to look exactly like yet. So that's going to be very interesting to see what happens in that first game against Eastern Michigan. And finally, What I learned from Taylor Heinicke is he's been doubted his whole career, and he recognizes that. But I think it fuels him. You know, I also know that he feels he belongs in the NFL. He wasn't overwhelmed by the moment, as evident from his passing statistics in the preseason. The moment wasn't too big for him. And after some of the quarterbacks I've seen in this league play second and third string, there's no doubt Taylor Heinicke will get a shot. If not the Vikings, then with another team. And if something happens and he gets a shot and goes in a game, I wouldn't count this kid out. I don't think anyone should count this kid out. I'm also a big music fan. If you didn't notice from the music breaks in this show, if you liked any of the songs that you heard, they go to monarchasylum.com. There will be a list of all the songs played on today's podcast, as well as links to where you can buy those albums or songs if you want. We're going to talk ODU football when that gets rolling. We still got a little time for that, but we're definitely going to focus on football and basketball. We're not just going to be all things Old Dominion either. We will branch into some NFL and NBA talk when those seasons get rolling. Well, I want to thank you for listening. Please tell your friends about this show if you liked it. Hit me up on Twitter, at ODU Asylum, and on Facebook. Once again, the Twitter handle is at ODU Asylum. Once again, and also on Facebook, just search Monarch Asylum on Facebook. I'm open for suggestions. Please send me your suggestions or anything you want me to talk about or any guests you'd like me to try and get. Please just contact me once again on Twitter, at ODU Asylum, and on Facebook, at Monarch Asylum. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for listening. Let's go out and beat Eastern Michigan, and we'll talk to you next week. Go Big Blue.